Welcome, welcome, welcome. You're listening to On Health and Healing with Angela Levesque right here on A to Zen.fm. Want to send a shout out to my listeners, not only on our A to Zen.fm family, but those as well listening on Dream Vision 7 and UK Health Radio. Just welcome to the program, and I appreciate your listenership. I'm coming to you live from the beautiful foothills of the Rocky Mountains here in Boise, Idaho. We have a very important topic for you tonight. We are talking about heart-based economics. Boy, could we ever use a little bit more of that with David Barnes. And that's the subject of his book that he has co-authored called It's Just Commerce, Returning Balance Back to Business, which, like I said, is something we sorely need. Next week, we have another great topic for you. We have Carrie E. Gray, and we're going to be talking about her sort of Dallas Buyers Club version of alternative medical insurance. So the deadline recently here in the United States passed, making sure that everybody, well, at least everyone should have been signed up for some sort of health care or face a fine. And she is trying to bring together some supplemental insurance for the care that some of us really want in the realm of complementary and alternative medicine. So that should be a really interesting topic. I was happy to have her on and allow her to share her message, because I know that was one of the things, you know, with a with my husband's work, we have very really good insurance. And the thing is, though, it doesn't cover a lot of the stuff I end up paying out of pocket for a lot of the acupuncture and trips to the naturopath and all of that. So maybe this is a way for us to still get what we want. So that is next week. And drum roll, my new website is finally done. It's funny, I develop websites, WordPress websites, for lots of people. And it took me a long time to finish mine, but I absolutely love it. So you haven't checked out HestiaHealth.com for a while, please go and check it out. I put up some guided meditations. I've got recipes, guest blogs, all sorts of cool stuff, as well as a link to my brand new class that I created in Conscious Weight Loss, which is a 4-week, 3-day challenge to help you uncover some of your underlying motivations. It's got guided visualizations, all sorts of stuff. It's very comprehensive, and the focus isn't on the waistline or the number on the scale, but the amount of joy and peace in your heart. So isn't that beautiful? I think so. And yes, so do check that out. And one of the things that is actually up there, which is a great segue and we're talking about tonight, is a couple weeks ago I did an interview, or I was interviewed by Cynthia Shepherd, and she is the host of the Heart of Humanity show. And what she asks her listeners is, let me find exactly what the question is she asks. What is the message your heart most wishes to speak to the rest of humanity in 9 words or less? So that was a pretty big, pretty big feat to come up with that. But my message was, go within to find what you can do without. So it is a 30-minute interview, but like I said, it's a great segue, because it's not just about doing without material things, which that absolutely is a part of it for sure, but it's also about letting go of all that baggage you've been carrying around, all those limiting beliefs that you have about yourself, these ideas that you aren't enough or you're not good enough, and just letting that go. And I think it takes a certain amount of inward focus to really appreciate where you are and what you can release, and, you know, the riches of inner peace and community and connection. And I think that that is all part and parcel to what we're talking about today when we talk about creating a new system of commerce or heart-based business. And I really think it requires all of us to look within. And of course, we will check with my guest. I'm sure he will agree with me, but maybe he'll have a better way to explain it. You know, it's funny, my husband is in Vegas right now, and he told me he went to a club, and maybe this is old news, entirely made of ice. So not only do we have a city that doesn't have its own water supply and has some of the greatest decadence of any city in the entire world, they have a club in the desert where they have to keep it below sub temperatures. I'm not even going to mention the name because I don't really want to promote it in any stretch. But they're in the desert, and we're creating a bar that's made of, and you go there and they give you a warm jacket as you go in, and you sit on ice and your table is ice. And I just think, can we not live a little bit? We are not masters of nature. Anytime we try to master nature, we will not win. And I wonder, can we not live more in harmony and appreciate the resources and the abundance that this earth has, and not treat it just with complete and utter disrespect. And I think that, again, that goes hand in hand with what we're going to talk about today. We need to look within and appreciate the flow and the cycles and all of the wonder. And these cycles exist too in economics, not just in nature, but the cycles of cells and the energy and all of that. And can we not just do without, and not by force, not by some piece of legislation, but do without, because we can appreciate our connectedness to everything and everyone. So anyway, I will save the rest of this conversation. I think you can tell this is kind of a soapbox issue for me. So let me get to my guest. David Barnes was born in Cleveland, Ohio, and has been a lifelong student of self-development and inspirational thinking. After graduating from The Ohio State University, he went to work for the Ford Motor Company. After 10 years with the company, David left Ford to take an executive position as Vice President of Marketing and Communications with the Dallas Symphony Orchestra. David left the symphony to embark on his own consulting and to deepen his own knowledge and self-development, looking for accessible ways to implement ideas in the workplace. Barnes is also co-founder of Peace of Mind Overtures and co-author of Taming Your Dragons and It's Just Commerce. He provides learning tools that assist in finding more peace of mind in your personal and business life. He works with individuals, teams, and businesses that desire to make a change and realize a new sustainable set point. He currently lives in Plano, Texas with his wife, Laura, and their children, Sarah, Michael, and dog, Murphy. I love it when people have a dog because they are part of the family. So with that, I am happy to introduce David to the program. Hello, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, Angela. Thank you. And congratulations on your new website. I checked it out earlier today, and it looks terrific, so everyone should check it out.
It is very pretty. I quite like it.
Yes, it is very pretty. And you did mention my dog, Murphy. In fact, just 30 seconds ago or so, she was making herself known, so she settled down. So she wants to be a part of the show today, apparently.
Well, sometimes, you know, I do my show in my office, and I have a cat in my office. And most of the time, she's quiet. But once in a while, she'll just jump up on things and create havoc. But
yes, they're definitely
she likes the energy,
family.
I guess.
Yeah, I guess.
Yes.
So. This is cool. Well, thank you for having me today.
Well, I'm very excited. So I want you to tell us a little bit, because I think it's a really good setup for what we're getting into, a little bit about your background. And then, you know, I mentioned in your bio about Taming Dragons, and tell us a little bit and Peace of Mind Overtures and how that all kind of fits together before we get into the whole commerce aspect.
That sounds good. Well, first of all, one of the things that really sparked my direction in this place in my life was in 1994, as a zone manager with Ford. I was working with really one of the most successful Lincoln Mercury dealers in the country at the time, and it was a really great honor to be with them. They were very innovative, and they sat me down. They said, look, if you're going to work with us, we need to read this book, A World Waiting to Be Born by Scott Peck. And it's about civility in the workplace and building community. And I thought, you know, this is terrific. So I read this book, and I loved it. I read it four times, and I really started to learn where they were headed with building community in the workplace. And they were doing some terrific things and making leaps and bounds. But one of the things I noticed was as they came together and expressed themselves and connected in community and said what they thought and felt, they didn't know what to deal with their stuff when it came up, which is inevitable. And any kind of teams, any kind of community, usually people push our buttons in the most perfect way and our stuff comes up. Mm-hmm. Well, they didn't know what to do with it. And so I thought, you know, they're onto something here. But if I could ever find a way to create some kind of elegant process that would help people to deal with their own stuff and own their own stuff, but then give them the tools, we might have something. And so, you know, fast forward, I find myself working with Sue Ann McGregor, who was a residence repatterning practitioner. She's a really gifted intuitive healer. And, you know, I had worked with all different types of people in the past just to deal with stress. You know, you work in corporate America, it's stressful. I was in executive management in the nonprofit world, It was stressful. So I met Sue Ann, and I'd never really had anything work as elegant as this repatterning process. And it's essentially you're changing the frequency and vibrations of the belief systems that you're carrying, and they create deeper grooves over and over again the more emotion you put to them. And so some of us have grooves that just set us right off and make us reactive. So Sue Ann said, look, you know, I'm getting the instincts that I'm supposed to work with you on my book, Taming Your Dragons. And we both kind of looked at each other, and I'm like, what do you mean? She says, look, it's really clear. I trust my instincts. I'm supposed to work with you. So I figured, you know, what could this take us, about 6 months or so, a year to do this, a book on emotions? I didn't know where we were going to go with this. Well, we figured out that we could take her work and make ourselves as proxies, if you will. So anybody that's done energetic work understands that it's, you know, when it's energy, somebody can step in to be a proxy and others can benefit from it. And so we said, okay, let's first do this work on ourselves. And we found that movies were these awesome teachers for us. And after we started doing the work on ourselves, we really had this vision for a series of companies, and it came in so clear. And at the time, I was so embarrassed but to tell anybody about it. But now, geez, after hearing directors like James Cameron talk about Avatar and the things he saw 25 years before it came, now I realize this is pretty normal stuff. But so we figured, okay, we got to align with this, Angela. So we started doing more of these movies just to get our own energetic work. We did our belief statements around it. When we realized this could benefit others, that's when we started putting in our book, Taming Your Dragons. So Taming Your Dragons has 70 movies that help people deal with their emotions and help them bring them back into balance and help them work with them. And they're all popular movies, some of the most beloved movies that came to us while we were writing this book. So obviously it was our own personal healing. And anybody that goes to these movies from our book and does our intention session, it's up on our website, it's in our books, they'll benefit from the energetic repatterning or energetic healing that we did. So it took us 4 years to get through this. Go ahead.
Well, so as far as these movies go, are they all wonderful, happy, happy, joy, uplifting movies that you put you in this high vibrational state? Or is that not really the purpose of the repatterning? Are there some darker ones that take you to maybe some places inside yourself you don't want to see?
Well, it just depends on what it is that are your own personal issues, really. I mean, yes, we deal with it, in both books we deal with the really big patterns that are going on the planet. You know, everything from money and fear and sex and all kinds of the things that really trip us up. So we have them in both of those books. But it just depends. Some things for one person's like taking off a layer like a sweatshirt, and it's not that big of a deal. But then other times it can be more painful. So no, they're not just all uplifting movies. They're movies that really fit the theme of, like, for example, in Tame Your Dragons, what we're talking about in that chapter. And sometimes they're themes about grief and letting go. Sometimes they're themes about coming to peace with money. Sometimes there are themes about, and it's the movies that showed up as our teachers that guided us. We didn't go out hunting for them. And so it was a very interesting process for us because we didn't always know, you know, what was, where we were going to go with the content next. That's why it took us about 4 years to get to Retain Your Dragons. Plus
what a great way to do that by watching everybody. I mean, that's everybody's favorite pastime is watching movies, and such an interesting way to look at it as a way to repattern.
Yeah, thank you. At the time, we didn't really realize where we were headed with it. But now, as we step back and I look at it, you know, everything in movies that are showing today, everything, the dark, the happy, are all a reflection of human consciousness that's playing out. Otherwise, that content wouldn't be there for someone to co-create and bring in. So when you watch any of these movies, even if we didn't do our own alignment process sessions, there's still an energetic component that's going on. And we all have had these feelings before in movies, and we've seen how they've changed things and made trends. And I think it's why people are so engaged with them and love them. So this was our path. So Taming Your Dragons was our path, and we learned quite a bit about it. And, of course, these movies became, you know, beloved teachers to us, so we're really passionate about them. The beautiful thing about this work is... Go ahead.
You know, I want to, I actually have a few more questions about the movie thing before we move on, but we're actually up on our first break. So hold that thought, and we will get to that when we return here with David Barnes on Health and Healing Radio.
Hi there, this is Angela Levesque, host of On Health and Healing and co-host of House of Iris Radio. I invite you to check out my website at hestiahealth.com, where health, education, and radio thrive. Learn about upcoming shows and guests, take an online class, or find out how we can work one-on-one to bring more balance, joy, and health into your life. Specializing in intuitive lifestyle coaching and self-care, mind-body weight loss, and energy medicine, HestiaHealth.com is creating calm minds and open hearts. The information presented on this show is meant for educational purposes only and is not meant to be a substitute for professional medical advice. Please contact your healthcare provider before making any changes to your current health program. Thank you for listening to On Health and Healing, the show where science and spirituality merge.
All right, we are back here with David Barnes, and we are talking about being able to watch movies and how there is this very strong undercurrent of energy as we watch it, and how they follow the patterns of our collective consciousness. And so I kind of wanted to ask you, you know, that idea of life imitating art, or is art imitating life? Are we in a state of co-creation, or is it kind of a chicken or the egg kind of deal? I just, you know, because if they are representing what's going on, are they happening first, or are they kind of happening at the same time? Does that make sense?
I think so. I mean, in our second book, It's Just Commerce, we talk about co-creation in a much deeper way, and about spirit and consciousness and energy and matter, and that everything that's here that we can see has been a co-creation with the energy that's already there and with others that set their intent and they wanted to create it. So, you know, the movies are a co-creation of that consciousness that's out there, that human consciousness. That's why we all relate to it and why they do well, because we energetically have some sort of connection to it. So when we started doing the energetic work on ourselves, we thought, okay, this might be a really accessible way to do some energetic healing. And whether people understand it or not, even if they just get the message that these teachers, these characters are teaching us, it may have a lasting effect.
And it's interesting, too, from a hypnosis perspective, the reason why you watch a movie and if something sad happens or touching and you cry is because it does put you, in a sense, into a state of environmental hypnosis. And because you kind of move into that different state of consciousness, basically, which allows you to connect on such a deep level. So it's not only just energetic, it's also a very, I think, well-founded mental component as well.
Yes. Yeah, if you think about it, it's one of the rare times as Americans, or at least the people in the West, where we spend a couple hours doing nothing but watching something. We're not texting, we're not multitasking, we're not, and if in the theater is even better, because we're totally focused and there's usually nowhere else that you can go. So it's a terrific teaching tool.
Well, I want to move on, and I want to talk, you know, some people might think, okay, this is just, the show is on health and healing. What are we talking about heart-based business or commerce for? And I think I'm aligned with you in thinking that it absolutely is related to everything in our life. So that includes our health care and our policy and all of that. So I just want to hear your perspective. Why do you say that commerce is related to every issue we're currently facing on this planet?
Because every issue is entwined. It goes back to the very beginning in the history of our country. First of all, the way we understand patterns is that anytime anything new is created, a business, a country, a marriage, any kind of new entity, whatever emotional patterns are occurring at the time, they will continue to replicate until they're recognized and then changed. So in the beginning of our country, I mean, the very beginning, the Puritans that came over, they were settled as a business. The Massachusetts Bay Company was a business charter. When we form as a country in the first administration under Washington, we form a bank with other investors, and we incorporate with business in a very profound way. And so from the very beginnings of our country, we were entwined with business. And so everything that we do somehow touches on this aspect of how we make money. It doesn't matter if it's education, if it's taxes, if it's poverty, if it's immigration. We could go through every list of things that we think are either going right or going wrong, and you can find a connection to commerce. And I found this to be fascinating from the standpoint of, what if we could change our belief systems about commerce, come from the heart more, create more win-win outcomes? Well, then these other problems could get resolved in a more elegant way too. But right now, most of the legislation, most of the things that get in the way are really come down to whether this works good for someone else's business or not, or if this is this constituency. So I found it fascinating to think, gosh, if we could do this change work on ourselves, it could have a profound effect on the bigger patterns that are happening that are keeping us from solving the things that disconnect us from each other.
You know, it's just interesting when you say that, because we talk about, you know, the exponential growth of technology and how it's just connecting us more and more. And it's interesting in your book because you talk about technology and how it is kind of, even in a sense, taken commerce totally out of the hands of the people. And so what do you think are the ramifications of that?
Well, I think, I mean, one of the things that really struck me is I needed to buy a pair of hiking boots, and bought them online, came to the door, and I never touched a human, didn't talk to anyone. I didn't even see the person that delivered them to me. And it really got my attention. And I started to think, to see that more and more the human interactions are being leveraged by scale. And of course, it's highly efficient. And of course, we benefit from it financially in prices. But we're missing out from the human connection. There's a true exchange that happens. And we are missing out on the fact that we need each other, and we live our separate lives. And so I was really drawn to this. And then you start to see what's happening with technology, and it's fascinating. I mean, in 2010, all the talk was about the trades that are going on Wall Street aren't even being conducted by people anymore. And Mark Cuban, the famous billionaire from around here, he quoted that you know, traders, whether day traders or high frequency or somewhat in between, Wall Street has nothing to do with creating capital for business, its original goal. Wall Street is a platform. It's a platform to be exploited by every technology and intellectual means possible. And, you know, this was 2010. Today, Michael Lewis is out in the book circuit right now talking about how Wall Street's been hijacked. Now, it's the benefit of technology, and yeah, that these traders are doing some really, really clever things and making money from it, but it's, you know, it's not benefiting all of us, and it's benefiting a few, and a lot of us just aren't aware of what's going on because technology has become so complex. So my thinking was, okay, instead of us having to know all that's going on, let's change what's going on within ourselves. Let's change our own belief systems within ourselves. Mm-hmm. And collectively, when each one of us does this, it's like the light switch goes on in the human grid, and change energetically starts to happen. We don't have to storm the White House. We don't have to be marching in the streets. We just need to change within ourselves. And that's what we try to accomplish with the 75 movies, and It's Just Commerce.
Well, you know, I absolutely couldn't agree with you more. And then the frustrating part, and I don't want to go too off on a tangent, but the money isn't connected to anything anymore. You know, there used to be the gold standard, and now we have this fiat currency. And then, like you said, now this technology has just taken us so just, you know, they talked about the towers, and they moved the towers so they could get like milliseconds faster on their internet connection.
Huh?
And how those like points they build up, and it's millions of dollars. And the thing is, it doesn't mean anything. It's so false. If you look down, and like I said, I don't want to get off into conspiracy theories and all of that, but it just makes it so much more important to me to do what I'm saying, which is, you know, have those connections and be heart led and you know, and know what it is that makes you excited and passionate, and have those conversations and those connections with real people. That to me is, you know, is so much more important than ever for us to start coming back to that, to our center and to that community. I'm sure you would probably agree with that.
Yes. And from the standpoint of, you know, money has consciousness, and yes, it's very electronic now. And that when that awareness was you know, look what we bring through that consciousness of money every time we do an exchange. I mean, what are you feeling when you feel about money? What are you feeling when you're seeing what's going on with Wall Street right now? What are you feeling when you're seeing what's happening with taxes? All of that, collectively, we are creating and inputting into consciousness. And so when we start to come back together and start to exchange with each other and truly find interdependent ways to conduct commerce, well, now we're going to transform it from the heart. But in the meantime, we can start changing it by just changing from within. And, you know, all the teachers talk about this. They've all had that change starts within. Well, you know, before doing this work, I didn't realize that not only, you know, how important the change within affects the rest of us because of the interconnectivity. So if you're frustrated with what's going on with money and you're frustrated with what people are doing, do your own change work and it's going to transform.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And I've done a few other shows before on the energetics behind money. And wow, that was a really eye-opening show for me because you don't realize, like you said, how many of those patterns are ingrained in you. Like one of the things that you talk in your book is this idea that, you know, like work and life should be really hard. That if you're not, you know, struggling and working your butt off, that you're never going to make anything of yourself. And I think that's one of those patterns that we all, especially in the United States, have ingrained within us. And, and you talk about several others. So I don't know if you want to share a couple of those or speak to the one about, you know, our work should be hard, because that is something we just really need to let go of.
One of the movies that comes to mind that you're talking about in this context is the movie True Grit. The one that the Coen brothers put together. Is that what you're referring to?
Yes, yes.
Okay. In this is a great movie for any kind of manager that's out there and just business people in general. You know, I agree with you that it's part of our work ethic. It's what came over. I mean, it's that Puritan work ethic. But I mean, when Alexis de Tocqueville is here touring the country in the 1820s, he sees it everywhere. He's like, Americans just love to work. And in that movie, for those of you that have seen it, the True Grit really shows this when you watch the little girl in the movie. I mean, she's getting advice all the time from her lawyer that she's pushing too hard and she doesn't have to make it this difficult. And you know, she goes out and she hires a bounty hunter who's an expert at doing this, and she feels like she needs to tell him the way that needs to go. And she insists on having it her way. And if you watch the little girl from the standpoint of how we make it so difficult as managers, as parents, as just sole proprietors, you get to see that it comes back to her in not a pleasant way. Her life is difficult too, and it's so much more complicated and harder for all the other guys who are involved out looking for the killer of her father. So if you're familiar with True Grit, this is a great movie that really drives it home. I love the Coen brothers because they usually have 2x4 messages, and this one, they really do drive it home in my view. So you can see, you know what, we all collectively swim in those kind of patterns, especially as Americans. So if you can just soften that part of you, it might be a little general workplace that you're in.
And another one that I really thought was interesting, which everybody knows, it's one of the most classic speeches ever, is from Wall Street, where I believe his name was Gecko, and he played by Michael Douglas, and gives that big speech about greed is good. And that is so apparent in a lot of what's going on still to this day on Wall Street, and the way that we even conduct our general lives, even though we don't think about ourselves as being greedy. What are your thoughts?
Yeah. Well, the flip side of greed is, you know, we look at Gecko and we go, you know, oh, that guy, he's this way and he's that way. But then we go off to Walmart and we got to get the lowest price we can possibly get on our groceries at Walmart. And by golly, if they don't get the high return on their quarterly returns next quarter, we dump their stock. So, I mean, in some respects, you could argue that's a smaller form of greed. We want the highest return on our stocks and we want the lowest price. And they're you know, they're not the same goals. And so all of us have our own versions of this. Those two movies, the Wall Street movies that were done, the one in the 80s and the recent one that was done in 2010, Money Never Sleeps, the thing I found fascinating is I watched both movies within the same week, did the alignment process sessions within the same week. And if I wouldn't have done this, I wouldn't have caught this. If you're fans of the movies, notice in the first movie that the patterns that are playing on are affecting Americans primarily, even in a certain area, you know, the airline industry, and so they're dominating them. But when we get to see in 2010, we get to see how the pattern has rippled. And now in the movie Money Never Sleeps, we see that the pattern's now affecting the globe. And we get to see a very real example of what happened in 2009 of how interconnected we are. You know, we love to say that we're all connected and we're all one. And then you watch the financial meltdown and you get to see, oh gosh, we really are connected. And so from my standpoint, from looking at the patterns, seeing how big they've gotten since the first Wall Street and watching those two movies together, I think is fascinating. And I find it very interesting.
It is all very interesting. Well, we are up on our next break. When we come back, I want to talk more about how we can restructure our companies and maybe bring some hope to this conversation and talk a little bit more about what your vision is for the future of business. And we've kind of touched on it, but delve deeper in what each one of us can do to really make a difference. So we will return here with David Barnes on Health and Healing Radio.
Hi there, this is Angela Levesque, host of On Health and Healing and co-host of House of Iris Radio. I invite you to check out my website at HestiaHealth.com, where health, education, and radio thrive. Learn about upcoming shows and guests, take an online class, or find out how we can work one-on-one to bring more balance, joy, and health into your life. Specializing in intuitive lifestyle coaching and self-care, mind-body weight loss, and energy medicine, HestiaHealth.com is creating calm minds and open hearts. The information presented on this show is meant for educational purposes only and is not meant to be a substitute for professional medical advice. Please contact your healthcare provider before making any changes to your current health program. Thank you for listening to On Health and Healing, the show where science and spirituality merge.
All right, we're back here on Health and Healing Radio, right here on AtoZen.fm. My guest again tonight is David Barnes, and we are talking about the subject of his book that he co-authored, It's Just Commerce, Returning Balance Back to Business. It's funny, one of the things that he mentions in his book is how we are such an overly litigious society, and that's why I go to my break and give my disclaimer every, because although today we're not talking that much about health, we do talk about, you know, alternative cancer treatments and vaccinations and all sorts of hot button issues. And yes, you got to cover your butt, as they say. I want to talk about, and it's funny, my husband works for corporate America, and we kind of refer to it as the golden cell. And it's interesting, and you talk about how, you know, patterns that we see in life, like the president and the government, and how we have this very top-down structure, and the same thing we see with CEOs and large corporations. So how do we, what is a better way to do that? How do we break out of that pattern?
Well, first of all, it starts with each other, and we need to come into more balance, you know, with the masculine and feminine parts of ourselves. And when I tell people this, they sometimes scratch their head and say, what do you mean? And I say, look, see your heart as your feminine part. This is the place of your creativity. This is the place of your connection to others, your connection to all that is. And your mind as the implementer, or the heart as the CEO and the mind as your president that implements. And when we can start to get to that balance and lead more from the heart, then we'll be more able to come up with new structures and be willing to consider new ways that will bring masculine and feminine balance within our companies. So talking specifically about the structures, you know, most of all of the structures, from the politics to the corporations to institutions, they start with one person and go all the way down. And it's very masculine. It's very command and control, very much like an army. And so that has been our winning formula for a long time. And when things aren't working anymore, and as we face some of the challenges we face, we need to be willing to get more balanced masculine, feminine leadership. And I use that word because we want, you know, we want women to lead as women and their creativity. And it isn't just women. It's that feminine leadership that isn't always just women that can have that. And when you have the balance, then you make different decisions. So what would have to happen is, you would have to have a more flat structure at the top of the leaders that are within the company. And you'd want diversity. I mean, you don't want all feminine, you don't want all masculine, because it gets out of balance. So if you can be comfortable with that and discover a structure that has the leaders, the experts running the company, I think you're going to get different outcomes in the end. And of course, this is easier for privately owned companies than it is for the corporate structures that are exchanged in Wall Street. But it's a concept to start thinking about. And this, you know, having more feminine leadership balanced with masculine, I'm convinced they would make different decisions, and we would work it out better as a team. And I see that's the future of where we're heading the next 20 years, that we will see that it's actually easier when we do it this way than when we do the command and control from the top down.
Well, you said a couple of things that I want to touch on. And one is that have women lead as women. And this is one of my personal pet peeves, is that much of our feminine qualities that make us just so wonderful, we have allowed to be diminished. And we have decided that in this, you know, wonderful patriarchal setup, that things like being emotional, intuitive, and all of those nurturing, all of those wonderful qualities, we have allowed to be, like I said, disregarded and even seen as negatives. And so I would love to see, and so consequently we've had women rise up who have done wonderful, but have done so at the consequence of losing that femininity and all of the beautifulness so I want, when you said women lead as women, I just, that's kind of a big thing for me, because I want us to show up in our beautiful divine self, instead of feeling that we have to just kind of be a man in a man's world.
Well, and it's just commerce. In chapter 8, I write about this topic a lot, and I it really moves me to have that awareness, as I see it, that all creation comes from the feminine. I mean, our life comes through the feminine. All of the powerful changes that have happened in my life has come from some kind of feminine shift in my life, either be it for my wife or my business partner, Sue Ann McGregor. And I've noticed that, you know, the Native Americans always referred to nature in a feminine way. And I relate to that kind of creation as something that is feminine. And it's to be celebrated, because it's really where the creativity comes. And I think that's where we're going to get some new solutions to some of the problems we're facing. As men, I like to use the analogy, as men, you know, we've been digging our ditch to bring the water to the house, and this is how we've been doing it for the longest time. And all of a sudden, the water starts to dry up, but we keep digging the ditch. Now, as a guy, I've done this very much like this. Then we dig the ditch harder and deeper and deeper. And here you have your feminine partner that actually is able to soar above the whole thing and say, look, there's a lake over here full of water. You don't have to keep digging. We just need to get the water from the lake. And as guys, we have trouble letting go, and we want to keep doing it the way we've always done it, and we love system, and women don't usually operate in the same way, and they're willing to try something new and look for new creative solutions. And so when you can bring that balance together, usually win-win outcomes are discovered. That's my experience.
Well, when we look now and we see that the power that a lot of the multinationals have, and you know, they're very entangled connection with our government and policy and the special interests and all of that, and the influence they have in campaigns and outcomes, and how, when you talk about, you know, where we're going in 20 years, what needs to happen for that, you know, that corporate hold, or even those special interests, that their hold that they have on our government, what has to happen to have that, you know, to move beyond it?
Well, first, I really believe once we do our own energetic work, and the more of us that does it around these issues and come to peace with it and to heal it, it will start to change energetically. But then it will also give us the opportunity to see that we need to pull together in community and start creating some other solutions and not wait for our governments, not wait for corporate America to change. And from there, we can discover maybe some interdependencies, like little towns like Hardwick, Vermont has done. This was a community that was a thriving community, and they were everything changed, and it was not doing so well. And so a bunch of young entrepreneurs came together and said, look, all right, I'll grow the wheat. And somebody else says, okay, I'll be the baker. Someone says, okay, I'll grow cattle. And they all decided to work together, buy each other's products, and you know, to form a community through commerce to save this town, Hardwick. And it's an inspiring story. And I'm certain there is others that are doing this. It's very old-fashioned. We used to do this before. And so we don't wait for our governments to change. We don't wait for the corporations. We get comfortable with being in community, dealing with our own stuff, and discovering ways where we could support each other through commerce and business, similar to what Hardwick did.
I mean, Dave, that just, it sounds so great, because any time that it's so disempowering to look to somebody else to solve your problems, first of all. Second of all, any time we have such a polarized climate in this country, especially, you know, it's just ridiculous. Like, we can't get anything done because, you know, we have this very us versus them mentality. And not only is it disempowering, but, oh, I just totally lost my train of thought. But it doesn't serve us to constantly be saying, well, if they say this, we're just going to take the opposite stand. There's no sense of conscious, deliberate action. And I think that right. We're just kind of following what's, okay, and I love in your book, you give this analogy of the ants and how, you know, some guy, one ant will start and dig the tunnel, and then all the ants will just follow, and they don't know really what became before or after. All they know is that they're just going to continue on the path that was already, you know, created. And we really need to stop doing that.
Yeah, and that's what got me very excited about this work, was how much change could we do just working on our own? How much could we affect things by being that change within? And so that very much motivated me and excited me. And so there are plenty of movies to deal with some of that frustration, so you can even just come to peace with it so that it doesn't hook you. Because when you get hooked, you're then sucked into it and you lose your peace of mind. And as long as we're all playing out the reactive patterns, we're not going to discover the new ways of coming together that are before us. They're here. We just haven't seen them yet. And I did a blog on the Promised Land movie, and this is a movie that stars Matt Damon, where they have a big, huge natural gas company that's coming in and negotiating with each of the individuals in this small Pennsylvania town, and they're struggling with what to do. And when you watch the movie, you kind of see the movie as, oh, geez, here it is, big oil, and they're squashing these poor people. And I didn't see it that way. I saw it as the people felt like they were helpless and there was nothing they could do, and they had to rely on the corporation to do what they do. And I think if that small community would have come together and negotiated as a community, they could have got everything they wanted and more. But it's not a natural pattern, Angela. It's not. I mean, everybody kind of feels like they got to look out for themselves, and that's just the way we were taught. And it's generations and generations and generations. But so I didn't see that movie in that same light. I saw it more as a liberating movie that says, look, we can do this ourselves, but we just got to pull together. We have to use the power of scale, just like nature does, just like corporations do, just like the government does, but do it with each other and come together and create the new solutions.
Well, I love that. I remember what I was going to say is that, like you said, it needs to start with the community. It needs to start within, because anytime, especially maybe when we have large corporations or we have government and we try to impose, you know, their rule on people, it creates resistance. So it really does need to be an uprising from within that spreads sort of horizontally versus, you know, top down. Because anytime you try to force something on people, you create resistance. And that, you're always going to fall back into that polarity of us versus them. And if they say this, we say that, and none of it's good. So we are up on our next break. When we get back, I want to talk more about our vision for the future with David Barnes here on Health and Healing Radio.
Hi there, this is Angela Levesque, host of On Health and Healing and co-host of House of Iris Radio. I invite you to check out my website at hestiahealth.com, where health, education, and radio thrive. Learn about upcoming shows and guests, take an online class, or find out how we can work one-on-one to bring more balance, joy, and health into your life. Specializing in intuitive lifestyle coaching and self-care, mind-body weight loss, and energy medicine, HestiaHealth.com is creating calm minds and open hearts. The information presented on this show is meant for educational purposes only and is not meant to be a substitute for professional medical advice. Please contact your healthcare provider before making any changes to your current health program. Thank you for listening to On Health and Healing, the show where science and spirituality merge.
All right, we're back here with David Barnes, and he's the co-author of It's Just Commerce, Returning Balance Back to Business. And that's what we're talking about, heart-based economics and how we can be a little bit more community-based and connection-based and really work from the inside out. So, David, we were talking before the break about people feeling like they don't have a choice. And I think that that is a huge problem with a lot of the things that we're facing right now, is that we don't, we can't see outside of the box. We can't see, we're so stuck in it that we can't see that there are other options. And it's kind of like we're doing what we've always done. And how do we move past that?
Well, it's an awareness thing that's everyone else's own journey. But there are others out there blazing a trail now already experimenting with this. One of them that come to mind is the Nobel Peace Prize winner, Professor Muhammad Yunus, and what he's doing with social business throughout the world. And, you know, his term on social business is investors that do not receive a dividend, but they get their money back. And the businesses are for-profit, created to solve structural poverty problems. And so the focus now doesn't become on the return on the investment and the bonuses and exchanges on Wall Street, but it's about doing something for others and doing some good and building a sustainable company that lives on. And so Muhammad Yunus is an inspiring visionary to look to see what he's doing. And he's teamed up with companies like, you know, Groupe Danone out of France. We know them as Dan and Yogurt, and they've created businesses to sell yogurt in Bangladesh. And there are other major corporations that are also really coming from the heart in business and trying to figure out how to walk that fine line of shareholder value but taking care of the rest of the stakeholders. So we do have people out there. There is a new set point that is emerging in business. It's just really important that we start to change our own beliefs within ourselves first so that we can start to create some of the new together.
So if I was to ask you your, you know, perfect utopian view of the future of business, would it be small community-based where we, you know, provide for each other locally, or do you still see this bustling global economy, but just in a different way?
Well, we had a vision in 2006 that inspired us to go on this walk and to do all of this alignment work on ourselves so we could align with the vision. And the vision essentially, it was very clear. They were several interdependent companies that were co-located in the same property. It was a sustainable property, and everything that you would want to have was there. And there were social businesses that were working on, changing the structural issues that are keeping poverty in play. And poverty, in our view, is just one of the other illusions that are going on, that this is just something that we have to accept. But I do think there is a need for pulling back into an old-fashioned, more community approach to the way we're living because of the resources and what is happening on the planet. And it's going to be more economical for us, and it'll give us more choice. And so for us, that was our vision in 2006, And it was very clear when we wrapped it up on a tree and what the divisions were and what the companies and how we lived and what we did with the environment. And, you know, we didn't think of it as a utopia. And actually, when you look at it, it sounds very much like, you know, the way things we were living, you know, maybe 50, 100 years ago. So I think we're going to be going back to more of that because, you know, the entwined global structure that we have now is starting to show some stress, and we can get caught up in that stress.
Well, the mass production of everything and the amount of waste that's involved with that, I mean, it's not sustainable. Like I said, like you said, and I'm so glad we had this conversation, people need, when we look at, you know, this big corporation and how do we change the corporation, and that seems insurmountable. But if you can change your heart, you can start moving in through your family, through your community, and creating that world that you used to see. I mean, I totally agree with you on that. Well, we have just a couple minutes left, so I want to give you the opportunity, because you have lots of great things going on, to share all of that with my listeners.
Oh, well, thank you. Well, our books are available for sale. Each one has their own website. It's just commerce.com and tamingyourdragons.com. We have many free alignment process movie sessions for you to sample on our company website, peaceofmindovertures.com. You know, on a regular basis, we're doing these alignment process movies based on what's up, and what's up either with us personally or what we're seeing playing out at the macro level in economy. So if for business patterns, you'll see some movies sessions on It's Just Commerce. And for most of the emotional patterns, you will see them on peaceofmindovertures.com. So we encourage people to go there, do our intention session that's on each one of the websites. And that's essentially, it's like an app you download on your phone. You get to basically say, I want to benefit from the energetic work that you've done. So you go through this session, and all you do it is once. And then you can benefit from any of these movies that we have here to offer. And we always give you a context of what the benefits are so you can see if it's the right thing for you or not. So we would love to engage with people. Our social media connections are on our websites. And, you know, we're looking forward to connecting with others.
And really, like I said, what's better than watching a movie? You talk about V for Vendetta, which is one of my all-time favorite movies. And one of the things that's interesting is that there seems to be more of those kind of Big Brother movies and stories out. And if we talk about life and art and all of that and imitating itself, does that worry you, or do you feel fairly positive about where we're going?
I think I'm very positive, very optimistic of where we're going. I think we're in transition right now. And anytime anything new is changing, when a pattern changes, there's chaos. And so think about your own garden, if you garden. Before you plant the new garden, you've got to rip up the old. And it looks messy and it looks chaotic. Or if you're an artist like my wife, when she starts on a mosaic project, to me it looks like chaos. Everything is everywhere. To her, she knows it's all coming together just perfectly. I believe that is what's happening. I believe that truly, as Eckhart Tolle talks about the new earth and others are talking about the new set point that's here, it's here. But it's going to be, you know, change. Human brains don't like change, and so they get reactive, and many of the big changing movements, people get reactive, but it's just a sign that the new is coming in, and I think the new is going to be very good, and we're going to all like it, and we're going to pull together, and it's going to be more heart-based, and so I'm very optimistic about the future, and I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, how it all works out.
Well, thank you so much, David, for being on the program. I really, really enjoyed our conversation. Have a great night.
You too.
All right. Again, that was David Barnes, and he's the co-author of the book, It's to Commerce, Returning Balance Back to Business. Coming up next week, we have Carrie E. Gray, and we're going to talk about her new endeavor in alternative medical insurance. It's kind of like a Dallas Buyers Club deal. And coming up next, we have Midnight Meditations. You can hear me every Thursday night here at 11 p.m. Eastern right here on AtoZen.fm. Do find me on Facebook and on Twitter at Hestia. And do check out my brand new pretty website at HestiaHealth.com. This is Angela Levesque wishing you good night and good health. I'll see you next week.